your budget. You can sort of just kind of go through the line items.
Yeah.
Go through the line items. Okay. The what's
okay.
that?
I was gonna say you got it up there.
Good. Yeah, because I don't have one in front of me. But the planner's budget. I'm asking for a little bit of increase in such in wages, and would like to propose kind of a yearly increase until kind of hit the what a normal department head or whatever would make. It's about that 70 some thousand dollar mark or whatever, but I kind of that we could evaluate that on a yearly basis, just seeing performance and stuff in that office, what's all required, how I'm doing, what kind of job I'm doing for you guys, and what you think on that.
Dennis didn't so really have a step program when he came in, so he was hired, I think at 62.5, and went up a little bit last year, but there's no formal step process for him or evaluation to move forward. So that's what he's requesting.
So that's my thoughts, my request there. And that could be evaluated yearly and go from there.
Okay, I guess the concern I have, other, and I don't know how this is covered, so y'all feel free to speak up, is how do we go down the process of granting one employee an increase and not another employee an increase? Are we considering increases for other employees or
others what? Have a step process, and Dennis didn't have one when he was hired, and just was kind of going up a little sometimes, and so he's and I agreed that there needs to be some kind of formal step process rather than just waiting to see if he gets something when everybody else gets something.
Mary?
So there have not been pay plans for department heads. So department heads being road and bridge, landfill, maintenance, planning and zoning, there hasn't been a pay plan like there is for the other clerical staff and law enforcement and those guys. These positions, the commissioners have made decisions on how they're going to pay their department heads, and that's been that. So there isn't a pay plan. And in Dennis's case, he got a raise last year, got an increase last year that was, I can't remember, but it was more, I think, than what the employees got, because the department heads got repositioned.
It was the 2% possibly?
It was right after 2%.
So, but yeah, there hasn't been a pay plan for the zoning office. So, something to consider for the future.
Which is what we're proposing is, well, 3-year 5% step increase, and then he would max out. And that's
about
in your
75.
Packet.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dennis, but I think that was one thing we considered when filling the position was not having the experience, but now you're building the experience or gaining the experience. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this office and stuff, I've dealt with planning, zoning, this whole process for many years through Rio Verde and all the plats and stuff that I brought in. Construction-wise, dealing with contractors and all of that, you know, I've done that for years and years, and that's real similar. Those working relationships are still here, still dealing with the same people. So the process of the learning was a lot more of how the office works, mm-hmm. where all of that stuff was, and getting more and more comfortable with it. I'm getting more education this year as to how busy it can be and how demanding it can be. Still, it's busy, it's fun. So,
any other comments with that, regard to that one item?
Well, I guess, Mr. Chairman, my thought is that we'll take it into consideration and think about it and come back at some point with, you know, we need to weigh. Number one, where he's at now, we need to take a look at the level of responsibility, how many people being supervised compared to some of the other department heads, you know, all that kind of stuff, and then come to agreement on how much we want to increase, whatever that might be.
And so with that, I'm kind of proposing a yearly thing so that you can see the steps that I take within that office and such. I'm really comfortable with the position, but, you know, you learn something every day. So I had proposed that just as so that you can see how that office progresses also.
So I would like to point out on Dennis's behalf, as he's the only department head that has to hold public meetings with an attorney present, and he's been through a significant amount of those lately that have been not controversial, but a big deal with the
nuisance
ordinance and the fire ordinance.
Yeah.
And I mean, subdivision stuff in Bondurant.
So he's filled the room more than we have, and I don't know any other department head that has to go through those stressful moments such as that. So.
Or if you'd like, you know, decide that there's a salary that the planning and zoning office should top out at or whatever. However it works, it will.
I think as Commissioner Bosman said, we'll take that in consideration, have that discussion, and then we'll come back with that.
Sounds fine.
Our recommendation.
Sounds fine. The second one here, the zoning administrator, and I don't know how much of you.
Do you want to talk about it? Or you want to?
Go ahead, and then I can fill in on the rest of it.
Well, you do your part, then I'll add my part.
We've been talking with Alan Houston a little bit. And Alan, with his sanitation's job, and also with his years of experience, and he filled in for this position some, doing some of the permitting. If I were to bring him in to my office to help out with this office, he's familiar enough with the permitting, it wouldn't take much to get him up to speed on all of that. He's good with being able to go out in the field, do inspections and stuff, and do those reports. He deals with the public and stuff really well, and could also fill in with doing some of the filing, that type of stuff. I think if I had him in there to help out, it would help me greatly just because of his knowledge of everything that, you know, with the sanitation department that goes on. So that position, that money there would be to add him into my office.
Mr. Chairman, what is Alan's wage or part-time wage currently?
Hang on just a second. He's in Department 312. Getting there. Right now he makes $28,409. And can I do my little part now, Dennis?
Sure.
Okay. So we're hopping up forward a little bit on talking about sanitation, Alan's position. He's a part-time person and he took over after Steve Kipp left this position to be full-time in his grant, his prepared health readiness grant that we get every year. They decided to fully fund his position, so he resigned as sanitarian, and Alan was hired to do this. So previous, this position was combined with another one to make a full-time position that had benefits, retirement, health insurance. Right now, Alan doesn't receive any benefits. The need that Dennis has in his office for a part-time person justifies creating that position and combining them into one full-time position. In Dennis's budget, we've kind of given you two choices to look at. He needed some help. So I had Corey going down to help him get organized, do the filing, answering the phone. And I took half of her salary out of my office to reflect that he did need some help down there. After we did that, then we realized, okay, there's this other possibility as well. And Dennis is not asking for both of those. I mean, if you wanted to, that'd be great. If not, I can still split Corey with any other department or keep her in my office solely. But the two choices, if you had to make one choice, it would be to have the person that has more experience in the field rather than just someone that can answer the phone and file.
Yeah.
So we've kind of got two possibilities there, but we think the best one is to have a part-time person that can back Dennis up as well as help in the office.
So at this time, would being part-time, he doesn't get benefits, or?
He does not.
Okay.
And we're going on the future and stuff. If I take any time off or something like that, I think Alan would be a lot more capable of filling in and taking care of the permitting and dealing with everybody. just because of his experiences also. Corey has been great with helping get stuff caught up, getting all the filing and stuff back in order, rearranging things, but doesn't have, you know, the experience, permitting experience, or knowing what's going on out there, what needs to be done.
Inspections.
Which, yeah, inspections and all the rest of that.
And this $30,270 would put him at what a deputy clerk makes, which was what, when Bart was in there and EJ was in there, that was what she made. So we're splitting the difference so that he would be in line with any other deputy courthouse personnel.
So let me ask you this question, Carrie. If that's the case, and that may be your preference and your preference, why are you presenting this budget with the recommendation for both of them?
Well, because in my mind, I thought, okay, before it had one position in there, and probably could use that again. Talking with Dennis this morning, he let me know if he had to choose between the two, if the board was not comfortable with fully funding that position, then he would choose the zoning administrator position rather than the secretary, the part-time secretary, and the part-time field personnel. So
I mean, I didn't mean to kind of confuse that. It was more of the talk that come up this morning after we've all had time to think about stuff. So.
Well, it's not so much confusion. I'm just looking at the bottom numbers and recommendation for the budget, and holding those two positions in there increases your budget by almost 100%.
I took half of Corey's salary out of my budget. So in the bottom line, it didn't change it at all.
Oh,
okay.
Change mine, but.
So if we choose, just as further conversation, to go with, for example, Alan, then you're going to move this 29 back under you?
Mm-hmm. Okay. As caught up and stuff as I am, I think Alan would definitely, I mean, we can do filing, we can do all the rest of that stuff. Corey has been great for getting stuff reorganized and things put back together, but I don't so much need a secretary as I need somebody to help me with, in, you know, doing other things in the field and the permitting and the stuff like that, to where I could at those times either do some of that or do the all the reports and everything that goes with the planning and zoning office.
So, Mr. Chairman, I guess the question needs to be asked, what has changed in terms of the requirements of the office that we need to have a half-time position? I mean, what's different now than a year ago? Yeah, how has the workload increased to require this?
I've had 5-6 people in, as you had no one before you guys got here, 6 people in today for building permits. That's every other day during the week, I have 5-6 people in requesting building permits. Septic installations and stuff are already going. The permitting process is coming up quite a little bit. I've seen a big increase in that this year.
So has it picked up enough to justify a half-time position at this time?
I think that it has. So the other part of that is if I leave on vacation or take time off for anything, that office is set in kind of blank with nobody that understands the permitting or the process or anything else.
So just pointing out something, Mr. Chairman, is if we choose Allen Houston, we're already paying him $28,000 a year. So for that extra $2,000, we're getting that half-time position.
No. You're talking in addition to the 28.
You're in addition to the 28,000?
Yeah, he's going to be a full-time.
So he would be full-time then?
Yes.
Yes, and have the same equivalent as a deputy.
Plus benefits.
Yeah.
So he'd be the sanitary, okay.
So then, Mr. Houston would be making somewhere around 58,600, something like that.
Like a deputy.
With benefits.
Not a law enforcement deputy, but
no, a deputy
a secretary
clerk.
Type person, okay. Which was what that position was funded at originally.
And so here again, Mr. Houston would be available, say, to, were you going to interrupt me?
No. I think you did that all by yourself.
Thought I'd he would be available, say, to go inspect a sewer system or that kind of stuff, whereas part-time secretary probably could not do that.
Correct. And he has the knowledge in the background for that.
Have you gave this a little thought as to where his office would be? Because now he would have two.
Everything could be in mine.
Okay.
Where's his office now? Oh, it's up on the hill.
Up on the hill.
Okay.
So who supervises him in terms of county sanitary?
Are you?
Yeah, I think it's the board.
We do.
Yeah, I think that's his office.
So kind of what I
also.
So any of these jobs where you're splitting people, and I had that question I would have had with having Corey part-time with you and part-time with Carrie, who's her boss? I mean, who does she report to? Does she have two bosses? How does that
confuse the situation? We talked with the county attorney's office about that
before
we even did this. And she's working in Dennis's office. She answers to him. And when she's doing county clerk stuff, she answers to me.
So if we go this route with Alan, then you take her back into your office. You had already made provisions to get your workload done without this half-time position. Are you going to eliminate somebody to bring Corey back in, or
no?
How's that work?
She'll just keep doing what she's doing. We could, at the time, we could share her for half a day to help Dennis get caught up. We felt like it was important coming up on budget that we reflect that Dennis needed someone in there. So we wanted to make sure it was reflected in the budget that it shows that.
I understand that, but so instead of Corey in this position, if we go with Alan, now we all at once have another half-time person that we need to justify a job for, because you've already covered for her being gone for half-time, so what do you do now?
Well, we have some other places that need some help that we'll talk about another time.
Okay.
Mary?
Along that same line, just as a question, so Alan is currently the county sanitarian, which is an employee of yours, selected by you, and the same thing, if he's going to be working in Dennis's office, the lines of authority and responsibility, how's that going to work?
I think it was the same as whenever Steve Kipp was a sanitarian and worked for public health.
No, because he was working for two different departments, two different even agencies, because his state funding came from a different place with a different supervisor.
Well, the point was he was working two different places. So
this was... discussing with Alan and stuff, he spends basically 4 hours a day up there doing what he does. Of course, there's different days when he's gone, goes down, does his inspections or does his things that days on or days, you know, that take longer. But for the most part, he works about 4 hours a day. So if I had him for the afternoons, that would be 4 hours a day that we pick up there. So.
Yeah, and Alan, anyway, you know, as a sanitarian, is working without supervision now. He just answers to us, but he's doesn't require nor seek supervision from us in that regard.
Right.
So.
And I would basically, it'd be, okay, we need this septic inspected here and this one's inspected here. You go out and do that, or you could work, help with permitting and different stuff like that.
Okay. Well.
So that takes care of those two.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other questions there? Publications, that's getting busier and busier. There's more and more of that goes on. Vehicle not there, not there. Plat review. Plat review is with Skyler. That has come up quite a bit. That may or may not go up or down, just depending. That one's hard to tell. But
so
if that was there,
a cushion there,
a little bit of a cushion.
But you also get refunded for those plat reviews.
Yes. So with those plat reviews and stuff, the fees that go out, get charged to Northern Title or any of that stuff, I charge back for those fees. So those fees are going out, but I get those back.
And the snow load is something we added to you.
Yes, and we added the snow load. We talked about that. Jorgensen's has done a very good job over the last winter compiling all that. That's pretty well put together now. And I get 3 or 4 calls a week on that information. So I think that would be very helpful for the county.
Well, I think those are the major differences. Mm-hmm. So I think we've covered that.
Vehicle expenses, yeah. Expect some more travel this year. So.
Yeah.
The other part with some of the vehicle and or with Alan is that we do share that vehicle. So it's kind of a joint.
You're already sharing one vehicle.
We're already sharing that one vehicle anyway. So when he's got appointments or got, you know, needs to be out of town, he just calls me and we schedule whether he's going to be gone or whether I'm going to be gone. So.
Mm-hmm.
So on gas and oil, I understand that gas and oil goes up every year, but looking at last year's budget and the year-to-date expenses, doesn't seem like it's necessary to increase the amount of gas and oil. What's the anticipation there?
More trips to Hoback Ranches.
Okay.
Being the further drive that I have. had 2 or 3 homes down towards Big Piney and such, but Hoback Ranches is... I've been up there 5 times already this year.
Good answer. Just had to ask.
Yeah.
Anything else for Dennis? So I think we're good.
All right. Okay. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks, Dennis.
Now you've had your first one.
I've had my first one. I don't know what to expect.
Me too.
You too.
All right.
Can you read it on page 3?
What? Page 3?
Page 3.
Which book? Yep.
County Treasurer, page 3.
Oh. I'm going to have indexes tomorrow, guaranteed.
Roll a desk.
All right, well, I appreciate you guys slipping me in. I was on the agenda, and then I removed myself from the agenda, and then I thought about it all weekend and decided to re-add myself to the agenda. As far as differences in our budget, the only one I would like to look at is the deputy salaries. For 2018-2019, we were at 182,710. When I figured that up for the three deputies that I have, that put us at about 156,301 is what we actually will probably use this year. So that was, I believe she budgeted extra to cover Pam coming in frequently. Looking at this coming year, I would like to respectfully ask for an additional employee. When I was hired in 2015, I was hired to replace Delta. And then 6 months later, Kay retired and she was never replaced. Our numbers have gone up significantly in the last year. I know Joel got to stand in line on Friday. Typically, we do about 100, somewhere right around between 75 and 100 registrations a day. For the last 3 months, we've done over 200 a day, literally a line all day long. And then when we have people gone or during the lunch hour, the line goes out the door. And then I stand up there. I did 6 hours at the counter on Friday. It's very difficult for me to get my work done when I'm at the counter all day long. I've got a girl out again today, so I just spent 2 hours at the counter because we only had one person in the office during lunch. So with the budget that we have, if we were to add one level one person, that's a salary of $39,736.49, that would increase our budget to cover that. We would only have to increase our deputy salary budget by $26,000. Or sorry, $25,000. It would be a difference of $22,000. I figure with the overtime thing that we have talked about, our office has had some comp time simply because sometimes you can't take a lunch break. So if we've only got two people in the office, you can't leave. So in looking at that, in a, you know, unable to use comp time, then we do have to either have another person or make sure that they get paid overtime. So if we increase my budget, my salary, deputy budget, to $25,000 more than what it is right now, that would cover an additional employee at the start or the level one salary, plus a cushion of about $3,000 or so. We don't have a lot of overtime. It's just kind of here and there, hit and miss, but it would cover all of that.
So, Emily, where are you getting the number of 25,000 for the deputy? If I look up there, there's a difference of 40,000.
The year-to-date expected is 165. Right. What we're at right now is 182. So if we were to have one additional employee, the total would be 205.
Year-to-date expense so far.
Year-to-date is 165. Yeah. You got 182 in last year's,
right.
710.
So if we increase that by $25,000, that would be enough to cover an additional deputy and a little
bit
of overtime.
I got that, but what I'm seeing is requested difference in deputy salaries is $40,000.
That requested number, I don't know where that came from.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
182,710, 122,710. I think Commissioner Rawhauser could do the math.
No, I haven't done it yet. I'm sorry. This morning I could have, but I can't.
That's what I had as your original request.
Okay, yeah, it wouldn't have to be that high.
Yeah, because I was just saying, you were saying 25, and I'm looking at 40.
Yeah.
How can you hire a full-time benefited position for $25,000?
We're already over budget for what we need for salaries.
Because you had money in there to pay for Pam coming in.
Pam.
On about $30,000
right.
a year.
So part of that is absorbed from last year.
Right.
Part
exactly.
of that budget was for transition as well. Because
right.
Roxanna hired early, so there'd be transition for Emily.
Exactly.
With the new person that was hired. So there was some additional money in there to take care of transition as well as
right.
for part-time.
Because Cassie, who was hired then to replace my clerk position, was hired in October. So she had October, November, December
And one
to cover her salary.
One other comment, your comment about Kay Mahaffey not being replaced.
Mm-hmm.
That was the year we all took a hit
right.
for the 40,000 or for the 40% reduction, and we reduced staff that year. So
you're talking about adding the 25,000 to the money
that we already
had,
have. And that would cover one full-time employee.
So that was the question Joel asked. I was going to ask, how can you hire anybody for 25,000? But now all of a sudden,
we already
add that
have
money to the 25.
Right. Yeah. If we only added 25,000, that would be enough to cover one full-time employee. And then we wouldn't have a Pam or a Roxanna that we would have to bring in when we're short. That person would just be there.
So instead of 202, you're looking at 207?
Yes. 207.
And then I'm guessing, Carrie, your recommendation would align with that?
No. Like she had a thought maybe she wasn't going to ask for that, so in my trimming, I trimmed it off.
Okay, so could you go over again? You met, and I didn't get it wrote down, but the difference in the number, the amount of work coming over the counter, you talked about registrations, but you used to, a year ago, you averaged between 75 and 100.
Even
and
6 months ago, about 100 registrations was a good solid day.
And now what is it?
Over 200 every day.
Over 200 per day?
This morning at 10 o'clock, I looked, we'd done 50 transactions already in an hour and a half.
Wow.
Literally, people are there at 8 o'clock, and they're there until 5:30 every night. So we actually have implemented a no-title sales tax rule after 4:45 because we can't get out of there until 5:30 if that happens, and we don't get paid overtime. So if they come in at 4:45 with sales tax and title work, we have been turning them away. Come back tomorrow. We just can't do it.
How do you account for that in such an increase? I mean, that's more than double.
I don't know if it's the oil and gas field or if people are feeling richer. I don't know.
We have a lot of out-of-state people transferring in
yeah.
for some reason. We're doing a lot of transfer titles from another state.
Literally, R&R on Thursday or Friday did 50 titles for new vehicles or new trailers, and they have probably that many more that they're waiting for titles on. So it's literally every day. I think on Friday we did 256 registrations, and that's just registrations. It does not include sales tax, property tax payments, miscellaneous receipts that walk in the door, and then of course all of our year-end and month-end reports that we're trying really hard to get done. We just were struggling, and all, you know, I've got three clerks and myself, but we all feel very, very stretched.
So our revenues are going to reflect that?
Yes, I believe they will.
I hope. Yeah.
So.
Well, 200 and how many did you say?
256 registrations on Friday alone. Literally, I was at the counter with a line all day and 6 hours without a break. And that meant, you know, and the phone's ringing the whole time and people are standing in line. And it is what it is, but we have been very, very busy.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if now's the right time to talk about it or during the clerk's budget, but I would like to discuss a little bit the new vehicle counter and the idea of sharing people or cross-training. I don't know what you call it, but the idea of cross-training people.
Mm-hmm.
If you send somebody from your office through the door into the clerk's office, do they just sit there and wait for somebody coming in to do a new vehicle purchase, or are they doing work for the clerk during the whole time to keep mm-hmm. busy, or is that?
When we were operating next door at the clerk's office, it was only treasurer's work. So if we have somebody, and we tried doing that, and it was so hard to get anything at your desk done. It was stretching us way too thin. We just couldn't keep doing it. So we have not been doing it for a couple of weeks.
That.
We have quit doing
okay.
it. It was too hard to keep up with our workload.
Because it seemed to me if somebody's just sitting there.
No, we would go over if there started to be a line.
How you, how they,
she wasn't,
how you work them in your office at the same time.
Right.
They
that
weren't
was the
working
problem.
For me
no.
while they were standing there.
It was
if anything, that. They brought some of their work over to work on at their desk, which is
right.
what my clerks do when they're at the counter, is they bring any kind of work that they would have been doing at their desk to work up there. But to be at the counter was the whole goal. But we were absolutely not
cross no.
doing each other's duties.
Mm-hmm. No. And when there would be a line, the person that was over in the clerk's side would go over and see if they could help people in the treasurer's line to just try to eliminate some of the load.
Yeah. Okay.
And that is my only concern with having Corey work part-time in our office, is that it's very hard to sit there when you know you have things on your desk that need to be done. And so I worry that she'll say, gosh, I've got stuff at my desk to do, so I'm going to run over to my office. And then we're constantly chasing back and forth if she was to part-time in our office. So, but we are struggling to keep up with the workload. And most treasurers across the state do not work the counter. We have enough stuff going on that working the counter means I'm not really getting my job done. I do it, I don't mind doing it, but it's hard to get my real work done when I'm at the counter all day long.
Understandable.
And the trial is that, you know, I love having Roxanna and Pam, but Pam's gone all winter, and Roxanna's health is not awesome, so I don't want to rely on them as our part-time people when there's a very good chance they will not be available. So.
Okay.
All right.
Any other questions?
Okay.
Well,
Mr. Chairman,
like you're
busy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your time.
Okay.
Are we going to do some general fund stuff, or we?
We can. The main thing I wanted to go over, I understand that Jeremy Silcox was here to talk his talk, but about Van Vleck.
Yeah.
But I have tremendous concern about that. I've been working with the county attorney's office. There's statute that clearly guides their procedure and whether or not they would qualify for getting money from a county. They haven't had a court-ordered placement in about 18 months, and so we're just funding voluntary placements. And I am not comfortable signing those vouchers. I'm not comfortable with their level of reporting their expenses. And on Van Vleck, I would recommend not the 45, maybe 20 or 25, or only court order placements. But their billing is inconsistent. I have a letter for you from the county attorney's office that did some research.
What page is this on
it's
here?
It's in the general tab toward the very end.
Under the nonprofits?
Mm-hmm. And if you want to do something different, then I think you need to do a lot more research. But I am not comfortable paying those vouchers or signing those vouchers as they are now and under this current circumstances.
Mr. Chairman, can I speak to that as well
a little bit?
Yeah, go ahead. I think at the time that the county started contributing to that, these kids that we're paying for are kids that have got pretty serious issues. They are taken out of their home for whatever safety sake, for health sake, whatever it is. A little different situation than some of the other kid programs that we see or whatever. But I have to agree with Carrie in some respects. I think that there may have been a time that we were paying for court-ordered placements, but that hasn't been the case, as you said, for a while. They've just billed us for anybody that comes from Sublette County, is what they've billed us for. And I know the commissioners talked about it a few years ago because there was an issue with, I think, their certification, their program certification with the state. They had had a suicide at one of their facilities, and there was an investigation, and all of their business was held up and all that kind of thing. And we held up on some things that we had just because we needed to see what was going to happen at the time. And I believe that was before you guys were commissioners when that happened.
And also, I talked with DFS here, and they don't refer anyone there.
Well, and see, and that's the problem, is that we don't know where these referrals are really coming. I mean,
well, it could be self-referrals.
And yeah, a lot of them are.
Yeah, we don't know where these referrals are coming from. So it's like, you know, I refer my kid, or my kid winds up there, and maybe I have the means and the ability to pay for that, but now it's getting billed to the taxpayers. It's just a really, it's gotten really weird, and I think that figuring out what you're going to do and say, hey, they're going to be court-appointed ones, or they're going to be appointed from one of our agencies. They are not going to be a self-referral. They're not going to be, you know, trying to make up your budget or whatever the deal is. I would, you know, I'm just,
well, I just think we should nominate it.
I can appreciate what you're both saying, and I agree with you. I certainly can empathize with those families that get into those needs, but from the county standpoint, not just a fiscal responsibility, but from a legal responsibility, as much as we'd like to help others, I think our responsibility is to help those that are either court ordered or come through another agency.
Right.
So my thought would be that rather than, I mean, if you want to put a budget amount in, but it wouldn't be for anything other than court ordered placements, which in the past year, 18 months, there hasn't been any. There wouldn't be any money coming out of that account.
Right. And then this last time I got a bill for $11,000, and I told them, you're already spent on your 45. He goes, okay, don't pay it.
Yeah.
So, and then the other part of that is like getting back to the Title 25. Who's going to monitor that? I'm not capable of it. I don't know.
Well, the other part of it is, too, Carrie, is remember those ones that we had. We have no way of figuring out who it is because it's confidential information. So if they sent, if they sent one of Tom's kids, we don't ever know that because we don't know who it is.
And we don't know if they're really from Southern County.
They both could go there.
Yeah.
Well, and it does open up the door for some liability. Let's say the person that's a self-admission there does commit a suicide.
Yeah.
Then we're
then
implicated in that because we're paying for that person's stay.
Or if someone gets turned away because they're over the 45,000.
Yeah.
So I just think we shouldn't be involved. It might have met a need at one time. I just don't think that it does now. And the kids that are court ordered, the state pays for those. It doesn't pay as much as they charge.
Is that reimbursed? We pay initially and then reimbursed?
No.
I think we're picking up the rest is what we're paying for. We're picking up the rest of what the state is paying.
So there's a minimal cost for us.
A couple hundred bucks.
Well, I'm going backwards.
Yeah. So,
put together this.
Anyway, my recommendation is
before soil conservation.
We stay away from them.
Yeah, I appreciate your suggestion of court order ruling.
Yeah,
that cleans it up.
Yeah, that would appear to me we could set a budgetary amount, but only disperse it through the court order.
Only pay for the ones that the court ordered.
But also bear in mind the state pays for the kids that are court ordered.
Right, but I didn't hear you say there's some they don't pick up, so
they don't fully fund it, do they?
No, the state pays a certain amount. Van Fleck says it costs them more than that. The state pays a certain amount.
Did I hear you say we haven't had anything from here for 18 months?
No, that's court what DFS
no,
told
no court
me.
Orders. Right. So it would appear that, I mean, to me it's a no-brainer. We pay for what we're obligated to pay, and that would be above whatever the state reimburses on the court order, if it looks to be a reasonable amount.
There's also the part of That is confidential information. So there's really no way for us to know if they're court ordered or not. I mean,
unless you get it from your agency, or you get it from somebody locally.
We tried to work with the county attorney's office to find out, okay, is this court ordered, is it not? And they didn't even really know.
So how did we find out about these who were court ordered? How do we know that?
DFS told me last week when I talked to them that there has not been a court ordered Sublette County kid in at least 18 months.
But somebody told you about the one from August of 16 through January of 17, 110 days for $17,800. Where did that information come from?
That was on their billing.
That's their billing.
Well, that was off the billing, off the invoice. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I asked the county attorney's office to help research that. And you can see what she said there. It's inconsistent, not accurate, and there's no rules applied.
So what's your bottom line recommendation? What do you think?
That we don't deal with that.
Not at all.
I don't think
Let's put pause and let's all find it because I'm struggling with that.
But isn't this for like sexual abuse kids and stuff as well? So it's not necessarily, I mean, those wouldn't be placed necessarily because of court order.
I don't know which way you're going.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know, I just happened to find it.
These are most of these are
farmed. Yeah, finally.
Can you tell us what it's under the nonprofits towards the
to the conservation district.
Right.
It's before the conservation district under the nonprofits.
Well,
but we don't have any way of knowing.
We do not have any way of knowing.
We have some way of knowing.
You're
not going to be able to necessarily.
Give us a
page number.
No page numbers on there. From the
healthcare
people, I mean, from
right underneath, there's the general. I see your general.
This is
kind of
the
general.
This is just a work session, Mr. Chairman, so I can't make a motion, can I?
No, no. One more okay. You can't. No, but I think what we do is you'll have to come up with your budget recommendation in terms of what we should put in that account that we'd reasonably expect to cover only court-ordered placements.
If it's your decision in the end to cover court-ordered placements, then we need to have a mechanism to figure out what they are. Because I don't think the billing has been reflected accurately.
Well, that's something you'd have to
the county attorney's office and Department of Family Services, not me.
Well, I understand, but can't you engage the county attorney on that?
Right, and then we're kind of getting back to the Title 25 conversation.
No, you're talking about payments. We're talking, and I see what you're saying in terms of approving those vouchers, but we have to know if they're court ordered. So they ought to be able to come up with a method.
What I would like to do is not fund that account, and then if a court ordered placement comes, then we'll do a budget adjustment. I just don't want to put money in there and them think they can. We have to go through the gyrations of trying to disprove it when they think they have X amount to spend. I think our conversation should be only court ordered and prove it.
I don't have a problem with that. Because if we don't have anything allocated to them in a budget, then if they have a court order placement, they're going to have to demonstrate to us that it is a court order placement.
And we can work with the county attorney's office in making that determination, not just sending bills to me.
Right. That sound reasonable to you guys?
So then the difference is what we would be looking at and what the state picks up and what we are obligated as a county to.
Yes, on a case-by-case scenario, but from a budgetary standpoint.
So you don't want to put anything out there so we can get a hold of?
No, that's right. But it was $45,000 removed from the budget.
That makes sense.
Mr. Chairman, Kat brought something up and I didn't get to finish how that ended. What was your question?
Well, that some of these placements are for sexual abuse victims, children, sex abuse victims and things like that. It's a voluntary thing that it's a crisis situation that they go in for therapeutic reasons. So there's reasons other than court administered things, you know. I mean, it's not necessarily a court order. There is a crisis component to this. So, you know, I completely understand the concern, and there does have to be some accountability here. But, you know, there is, even in this thing from the county attorney's office, says crisis beds are placements for youth experiencing a crisis situation. They're free of cost to youth and their families. So, you know, this is just, in a way, it's like other nonprofits coming in, you know, if you're wanting to support a youth program or something, that, you know, I totally get the, these guys are, the Van Vleck House has just been able to look at this as a $45,000 check or whatever from the county. But anyway, my concern is, it is more than, you know, than just the court ordered placement. There is a crisis component, because we don't have some of these services available for youth in those situations in this county.
What's DFS? Don't they do that?
Department of Family Services.
I understand. Don't they? Doesn't DFS intervene in many of these cases?
I think DFS intervenes when you have the court and law enforcement. Mm-hmm. When you have not a voluntary. So if you're a 16-year-old that's being sexually abused at home, where are you going to go?
To law enforcement.
Well,
yes.
That's not how it always works.
Yeah.
You know, and that is
what.
But how many
16-year-olds know about Van Vleck House?
Actually, they're
still looking for help. You know what? When this originally started, because we've given them money for a while, and it was just basically that we had Sublette County kids that were going up there and staying
right.
for free.
Right,
basically, and it was a lot.
We had some bad situations
yeah.
with kids that left Sublette County to go up there, and that's when the county was funding this. Yeah.
But doesn't Van Vleck have a mission statement that says, or at least maybe not states, but implies that crisis beds are free to youth and their families?
Yeah,
because we're paying for them.
Yeah.
So in that case, the kids from here can still go
but
for free.
Right, but how are they to keep operating if, I mean, they have to come up with money somehow, right? You know, to keep offer. And that's, you know.
How much did we give them, how much did they use last year?
I stopped them at 45.
Oh.
We're still getting bills.
Okay.
So that's the way they operate also.
Yeah.
They don't keep track, they just keep sending bills.
So we get to 45.
Your money's done, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's been.
So there's really no. Their system of accountability is lacking.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
And that's why I recommend that, okay, we let them know when there's a court-ordered placement, then we need to confirm it through the proper channels, and then we'll fund the account as it goes from there. I don't feel comfortable putting a certain amount in there and then having to police it from there.
So, I can't help but have the same concern as Kat. If there's a kid that's in destitute and goes and admits themselves, there needs to be an avenue that, if Van Vleck, I don't know how. But you see what I'm saying? I don't want to deny some kid that's being sexually abused of a service that could save them from trauma the rest of their life.
Well,
but I don't think they can, though. I don't think they can. I don't think their mission or whatever their deal is. That they can refuse service.
Okay.
They're just trying to recoup funding, I think, has
mm-hmm.
been the story that we've heard.
And the avenue they should take is through law enforcement. And sometimes offering an alternative to that doesn't really help them,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Oh, I don't. I agree with everything we're all discussing. I'm just trying to have a compassionate side also. If it was my child, I would want them to have that avenue. And I think any one of us would. I don't want to overlook something. But I agree with the whole fact that we need to cut them off.
I
I just haven't felt comfortable with the way they bill and the oversight, and I'm not comfortable signing vouchers for payment.
You know, I don't believe the county attorney's office has had the same problems. Mm-hmm. I know that they've mm-hmm. looked into it also, so.
Yeah. So if a, and bear with me, so if a child is determined to have a crisis at home or wherever it happens, and they would like to go up there, what's the avenue to get them from here to there? Who, in fact, would that report come to the sheriff's office? Where's it going to come from? Can a kid just load himself up and show up there and say, here I am?
Yeah, or a kid and a mom or whatever, or a dad and a kid to get away from the abusive wife or whatever, or it can be law enforcement. You know, one thing that you guys could do, I mean, if you're interested or concerned about this, you know, you guys sometimes just said that you're going to give a set amount for whatever just to support rather than trying to worry about the hundred and some dollars per day or whatever, looking at what the county attorney's office said, what was being charged for these two kids, even, and that was under court order, that we were still, Sublette County was paying $18,000 for one kid and then almost $20,000 for another on this. You know, I mean, you guys could decide if you want to support something like this and have this avenue available. You know, you could set that, okay, we're going to fund $5,000 because we like the fact that this, you know, or whatever. You know, just my concern was I just wanted to raise it's more than just court order placements.
Well, and I can agree to an extent, but if there isn't a way to check the trail, so to speak, of the kids that are coming from here to there, then how is it possible that we can figure out what we believe is necessary to cover that? And so if there's a way to check it, to trace it, if you would, I see no reason that if we've got a crisis situation here and the Van Vleck House helps, it says right here free of cost, then maybe it would be at our advantage to make a donation in that kid's name or something along those lines, specific to the stay that they're there. It's up to 30 days, doesn't it? Yep. So if a kid's up there and he comes back, wherever he's come back from, maybe $5,000 would have alleviated the issues that he took with him. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm to the opinion that putting up a pile of money and then letting them dive into it, no, I'm not in favor of that.
So another avenue is we follow through with Carrie's suggestion. I almost bet that Van Vleck comes to us with a fix. Right? After next year, for next budget, they're going to say, okay, this is what would work.
Well, they're...
Oh, darn.
Chances are Sublette County is flipping the bill for kids that aren't even from Sublette County.
Well, absolutely.
Well, you know, I think we have to draw the line in terms of what government regulation ought to be or government intervention ought to be. Leaving our empathies to the side. And I think what we're dealing with right now is we have a recommendation from the clerk that we not fund this program based on a couple of issues, number one of which is the court order placement, number two of which is giving a true accounting of how many services or what services have been provided to residents or families of Sublette County, and number three is the fact that who is going to sign and approve these vouchers when the clerk says, I'm not comfortable in doing that for the legal aspects of it. So in my mind, it's a budgetary question based on the fact, do we want to fund the program or not? Now, it's a separate issue in my mind if we want to make a donation in Sublette County, and I'm sure that money will get used, but will it get used for the folks of Sublette County? Mm-hmm. We don't know if it is now or not either. So I'm inclined to accept the recommendation
that we don't fund this request.
I concur with that at this point, and if they come back with a solution another year and say, here's how we can document the kids from the county and the services provided to those kids, at so much an hour or whatever it is,
I even asked
then we could reconsider.
For a contract. And they're like, no, you make the contract. Well, if I don't know what you do, and I don't know the billing, I can't make the contract. So if they want it next year, then I would think they would come up with a contract and a method that we could review the billing that still guards the confidentiality of the child and yet helps us keep our accounting records straight.
I agree with that.
Let's go with that.
Sounds good to me.
I'm confident that we'll come up with a solution within a year.
Okay.
Yeah. May surprise you.
You would hope, and if they don't, they just
they may have more money and they know what to do with it.
Right.
They have been.
We
I could see that in Jackson. Very easily.
Suicide, suicide.
You know, just like Region 5, they're used to that, so that's why they send out bills.
And that was the only general account that I had any kind of change on. Everything else, I would like to keep the same that Mary had it, is we keep it funded. Keeps things going. The great, great big one is the benefit, and it has enough money in it to get us through the year. And also, if we add the couple of benefited positions, it would have enough to cover that too. And that's that 901-180.
And what did you? Okay, I'm off to something else.
What?
The question I had has nothing to do with budget. It has to do with the agenda tomorrow.
Okay.
If you guys want to still do general budget, what are we doing?
Are you ready to move forward?
Are I'm
we,
sorry. What?
Are we kind
do
of
you have
done?
Anything else on general budget,
no,
general fund that we want to do today?
Can we take a break just for a second,
sure,
just before we talk about the
agenda
tomorrow?
Sure. Yeah. Break granted.
Thank you.